Angeles.
It's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
We're my man.
Chris Booker.
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
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 The Perez Hilton.
Ready?
It's the PHP.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the PHP. I'm Booker. He's Perez. And how are you, friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks.
I'm relieved because, well, not like it was like a huge thing or whatever, but people were asking about my mom, like, where's your mom? And out of respect for her and her recovery, I hadn't mentioned to anybody that she had knee surgery recently, or maybe like a knee procedure. But she did have to, you know, be put under anesthesia, and she had a torn meniscus.
Yep.
You know what that is?
I watch a lot of football.
She had that torn, so it needed to be repaired. I think I've mentioned this before. You know, she's got a lot of issues. She's got diabetes. She's got asthma. She's got spinal issues. And I said this kind of joking, but not really joking. And some people were like, what's wrong with you? I was mentally preparing myself for my mom to die when she had surgery. Well, just because, I don't know, like, it's a serious thing. And the surgery was not serious, and it was quick, or as quick as can be for that. And it went off without a hitch. But the recovery for her, like, the days immediately afterward were awful. Like, she was vomiting nonstop.
Ooh, really?
For days.
So was it the anesthesia that
I guess so,
her?
Yeah.
Must have been, yeah.
She was vomiting for days. She had no appetite. She didn't even want to watch TV. And my mom loves watching TV. Like, that's her favorite thing to do, is watch TV. Like, so it was rough. But thankfully, she's doing better. And the big brace thing that she was wearing is off. And she's walking around now and doing what the doctor ordered, which is exercising. So happy about that. I've had a fun, busy couple of days. Well, last night I went to this Shania Twain thing.
We went to the Shania Twain thing. We had a mandate.
I went to the Shania Twain thing with you. Jesus. God. You think I was just going to erase you from history?
No, but you started with I, and you could have just started with we went to the Shania Twain thing last night.
No, it was a better setup if I said I went to the Shania Twain
listening
party
with you.
It makes the with you more special. I was trying to make you special.
I'm not buying that, but okay.
No, it's true. Anyways, yeah, I went with you. It's not a mandate. We just went to this thing together. I thought it would be fun to invite you because it was a music industry thing, and I thought that you would appreciate going to that.
Yeah, I did. We had a great time. I mean, it was Shania Twain. We met up. We went in. I had a couple glasses of wine. Then we go into this room.
And wait. They took our phones away, which
was... Oh, my God. Perez was losing his mind. You should have seen him. I was like, oh, my God, you're forced to talk to me and pay attention. What the hell are you going to do? So we go into this big kind of... It's almost like a basketball court, right? Like half court of a pretty big room with, I would say, what, 6 rows of chairs, maybe 10 across. So, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 people in this room.
Yeah,
and
not many.
They say, hey, we're opening the door. So Perez is like, you know, first one. Wait, he wants to get in.
Pause. A few things. First of all, it was a little traumatic being without my phone. I kept having like phantom whispers.
Phantom
like,
rings in your pocket.
No, like I kept reaching for it and it wasn't there.
Well, good.
Secondly, part of, not the whole reason, but part of the reason I went is, well, A, I love Shania Twain, first and foremost. Sure. I'm a huge Shania fan. I saw her Vegas show. I saw her in concert as well after that. She's iconic, a legend, truly.
Without question.
Sold 70-plus millions out of albums. Really broke the mold of what a female in country music was. Mm-hmm. So that's first and foremost. But secondly, I wanted a photo with Shania. So the fact...
And they took his
phone
away. So he's bitching right off the bat. He's like, this is pointless for me even to be here. If I can't have my phone, it's like, it doesn't even count. I wasn't even here.
I know.
It was hilarious.
What we entered is actually a recording studio. That's where they record like orchestral things. So it's like a large space for bands and live things like that.
So we go in and every seat is empty because they say, hey, we're opening the door. So Perez beelines in. I'm like, what's the hurry? So we beeline in and I'm his guest, so I'm not going to start bitching yet. But we go in and we literally sit in the front row, front center. We could touch Shania Twain. She's so close. We have to sit front and center. And I go, Perez, why can't we sit in the back? Like, why can't we sit on the corner in a wing? And you're like, I need to be seen.
Well, I said, what's the point if I can't even be checking my phone? So if I can't check my phone, I might as well be seen. So we sat.
This is such the difference between him and me, because I would have sat in the back and I would have moused my way in the back and had just as good of a time. And I would have been, you know, listening intently. But Perez needs to sit right in the goddamn front center. It was hilarious. I'm like, this is the total difference between the two of us. But we heard what, 9 songs
Eight
from
songs.
Her new album?
Wait, so.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you read the initial email I sent you, right?
No.
Well, I sent you an email saying, hey, you want to come with me to this? You didn't read it?
Well, I just looked at Shania Twain and saw the date and said, yeah, I want to come. I didn't read it.
All right.
What did it say?
You're like, whatever, you're invited. Well, I don't think it said that we can't talk about it, right? They didn't say we can't talk about it,
oh,
right?
Oh, no. I'm sure we could talk about it.
Yeah. They just don't want the songs leaking. So, first of all, it's Shania's first album in 15 years. That's a long time.
It doesn't even seem right.
Secondly, it's the first album she's done without her ex-husband, who is also in his own right an iconic musician, a songwriter and producer, Mutt Lange. He worked with everybody from Shania to like
AC/DC.
Yeah, Def Leppard. I was thinking AC/DC.
All kinds of rock bands. Yeah. And
huge talent. And if you need a backstory, a reminder, their marriage blew up after he cheated on Shania with the neighbor's wife.
I didn't remember because we're listening to the album and I kind of leaned into you and I said, what was the story again? And you're like, I'll tell you afterwards. But it was clear that this album.
Wait, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Okay. Go ahead.
But it does have a happy ending if you haven't caught up yet. She ended up getting together with the husband of the wife that her husband cheated on with.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so weird.
So in addition to all of that, she also had, she was saying she had Lyme's disease.
Lyme disease.
No. She pronounced it Limus.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. She was pronouncing it Limus. I swear. I was
no,
like.
No, she wasn't.
Yes, she was.
She said Lyme's disease.
It was so bizarre to me.
You're nuts.
Well, A, she was pronouncing the S, so she was saying Limes, and I think she was saying Limus. Like, I swear. I
think it's just hard to say. Look, she was a little bit nervous up there talking in front of all those people.
She was very nervous, and that was really endearing. Before they played the songs, she gave an introduction and explained what she was going for in the album, and that she wrote every single song by herself without a co-writer, which she says is what she used to do before she met her ex-husband. I think she did a great job as a songwriter.
Well, she talked about how scared she was. She was like, how can I do this without Mutt? I did it so long with Mutt, and this whole album and music, everything she talked about, it was really focused on Mutt, I felt.
Yeah.
I was like,
well, she led with that. I was surprised at how quickly she brought
him
up.
And how honest she was about it. I mean, in front of a room full of strangers, but it was, for whatever reason, it looked cathartic to me, like watching her kind of unload it on us. And even at some point she'd said, am I rambling on? We're like, no, keep going. This is great. You never get this. You never get this kind of honesty out of an artist, especially naming the other person and being so straightforward about it. I found that refreshing.
So the single comes out in June. The album comes out in September. The album is called Now. And God, I almost feel bad, but they didn't say we couldn't talk about it. I would say,
I think the point of having us there or you there is to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm sure.
All right. Yeah. And I think if they didn't want us talking about it, they would have said.
They just didn't want us to get the music.
Yeah.
They didn't want us to have a copy of the music. I'm sure they're appreciating us talking about it since we both loved it. I assume that you did.
So, well, a few things. 15 years between albums is too long. So,
way too long.
It's almost as if she's starting anew with a little bit of an advantage, but there's no way. Zero, zilch, that this album will do anywhere near as well as her previous albums.
Well, it's a different day.
And also it's a different day, but she does still have older fans And some of those might still be buying music. I don't know if she has.
And it's country music. Country music. People buy country music.
Yeah. I don't know if she's got younger fans. I think she does. Like, there's something still cool about Shania.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
sure.
And she'll get, hopefully, new fans with this. But first and foremost, like, let's just stop comparing sales or comparing with the last album, because it's been 15 years.
too long to compare.
Yeah. Secondly, I would say this album is predominantly a pop album with some country songs.
I would agree.
Having said that, my favorites, though, were the country songs.
Yeah.
And my favorites also were the happy songs. Unfortunately, not unfortunately, like, listen, she established it. I wrote all these songs by myself. I'm a real songwriter. I'm a real artist. This is an album that she wanted to make, and she explained how hands-on she was, from everything from the songwriting by herself to being in the studio to then afterwards making sure that the mixing and everything was to her liking, because she explained there's four producers that worked with her on it, and she was the cohesive through voice sewing it all together. So she wanted to make this album, maybe not even thinking of radio. Probably not, because she's...
Maybe not.
She's like, what is she, 45, 46? Let me see her age. There's no way, really, I doubt, that pop radio will play any of... She's 51.
No.
51. Country might, I think they should. The first single is called Life's Gonna Get Good, and that one definitely is a country-ish song, country with some pop touches to it.
Sure.
And that one was by far my favorite, because
really, by far.
Oh yeah, by far. That wasn't,
I thought,
your favorite?
It was definitely the track you would lead with if it was a radio single. It wasn't my favorite.
Oh, it was totally my favorite.
It.
I was like, oh my God, this sounds like old school Shania with new school production.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was bad. It was one of my favorites. And if I was going to say which song would go to radio, I would say that one without question.
I loved it because A, was one of the few country-ish songs.
Mm-hmm.
B, it was like classic Shania. Like, it sounded like... Like, did you have this in your vaults? Did you write this like right around the same time as, you know, I'm going to get you good and Man, I Feel Like a Woman? Like, it felt very much that era, but modern. Like, it doesn't feel stale at all.
It didn't feel dated.
No.
Right.
And it also was one of the few just happy, uplifting, positive songs. Like, a lot of the album is about her ex-husband and...
Almost every track we heard was a reference to the past and pain. And trying to get over it, you know. My favorite track was a track called Poor Me.
Oh, no, I didn't like that one as much.
Yeah, I like Poor Me. I don't know if I like it for a single, but I just like the whole premise of the song. She was down in the dumps, like, poor me, like, oh, my life is terrible, and my husband left me, and this and that. And then she looks out where she lives and looks out into the ocean and how beautiful it is. She's like, oh, poor me. God, I got it so bad. Pick yourself up and get back out there. And there was also a lyric that really caught my attention, too, that I talked to her about, when she was talking about breaking down in front of somebody when you completely lose it and you're pleading for them and they stand there emotionless and you're like, how could you be like this? I'm losing it. And I felt that I'd been there before. So that part of the song touched me as well. But I loved it. I'm with you. I think it was pretty good.
I told her that the single, which comes out next month, needs an exclamation mark at the end, because that's iconic, classic Shania. Like, so many of her hits have exclamation marks. And when they put the track listing up on this TV for us to see, not a single exclamation mark. I'm like, that one needs an exclamation mark. But anyways, afterwards, I told her, and I also told you, but you disagreed with me. I said to me...
Well, I didn't disagree with you. I just didn't understand.
Well, let me say what I said then. I said afterwards that this album reminds me of Madonna's Ray of Light album, both sonically and thematically. Like, sonically, I totally hear it. Like, that song Frozen, or that song The Power of Goodbye. And thematically, like, there's so many overlaps.
Maybe I just don't know the Madonna album that well.
I do.
I guess I would have to. Of course you know it. Maybe I just need to go back and listen to it. I was like, sound-wise? Like, I didn't understand what you meant when you said that.
Yes, but sound-wise too. Like, like even that one song that you mentioned that sounded like a Portishead song, like, hello?
Oh, that was the second track. It was so... It sounded like Sour Times. I mean, like an alternative rock track. Not pop, not country. I mean, it was a really different sound.
But Madonna's Ray of Light album had sounds like that.
Oh, yeah. I got to go back and listen to that
again.
Oh,
it's such a good album. It won her.
Yeah, I will. I'll check that out today.
I think that's what won her her first Grammy.
You're right. It was Ray of Light that won her her first Grammy. Her song, Ray of Light. It's just so silly, though, isn't it?
I know. Like, express yourself. God. Like a prayer. That Vogue.
Body of work. My God.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It really is. I guess the Grammys were more fuddy-duddy back then. You know what I mean? Like, now they don't take themselves as seriously. And, you know, plenty of pop albums like Justin Bieber and whatnot, you know, on the regular get nominated. But back then, it wasn't like that.
Nope. Well, that was a lot of fun. I did a lot of other fun things, too. Oh, an update, because I talked about it on the podcast last week. After the recording, I went to go see The Bodyguard musical. And oh my gay God, it was everything. It was more than everything. Like, I went in with low expectations because the show didn't play Broadway. And when a show goes on tour and skips Broadway, that's usually an indication that it's a stinker. And also, the reviews were not that good. But I had the best time. I am a real critic, and I've seen thousands of shows. I've been to hundreds of Broadway musicals. And it was so good. And Deborah Cox in this role, I might get crap for this, but Deborah Cox was better playing this role than Whitney Houston would have been in a musical adaptation. I'm being very specific.
Bite your tongue.
No, I'm being very specific. In a musical adaptation of it. Just because, first and foremost, Whitney was iconic. Whitney was legendary. Whitney had a phenomenal voice. Whitney also was lazy as fuck. There is no way she would notoriously cancel concerts. Probably it was drug related, but even before that, she was known for her laziness. She would have not been able to do six shows a week. Deborah Cox takes off.
All right, I'll give you that. You make a good point.
Deborah Cox takes off matinees, but every night she's on and she is killing it, singing full voice. These are big songs. Even the up-tempo songs are big songs. And what was so great about the musical is that they not only did all of the songs from the Bodyguard soundtrack, but they licensed Whitney's greatest hits from throughout her entire career.
No kidding.
So
I didn't know
it
that.
Was like the most beautiful, amazing, special tribute to Whitney Houston. And also Deborah Cox dances. And Whitney didn't dance.
No.
Deborah Cox was giving us choreography. And I honestly, I kept clutching my pearls. I kept like putting my hand up in the air. Like, it was a spiritual experience. And what was so good too is that Deborah Cox was not giving me a Whitney Houston impersonation. She was not mimicking. She really made these songs her own. Like, her song phrasing, her interpretations, her choices. Inspired.
Okay, we're getting way too into this off-Broadway
Anyways,
show.
if it's going on tour all over America. You got to go see it. It's so good. Also, I got to give myself a little pat on the back.
Oh, God. Wouldn't be a show unless you did that.
Friday, I went to a Cinco de Mayo party. Adrienne Bailon from The Real hosted a party, and she was kind enough to invite me. And I had two drinks. Oh, my God.
Wow. You crazy soul.
It was so fun.
I had two drinks watching Shania last night. Then I went across the street to Sugarfish and had about five more.
Really? By yourself?
Well, no, my girlfriend joined me.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that. No, but it was fun, especially because the second drink that I had was like a Mexican Moscow Mule, like a Moscow Mule, but with tequila. And holy crap, that was so strong.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it was so strong because I could just, the first one was a mojito and that one went by real quick.
It's a lot of sugar, too. You shouldn't be drinking a mojito.
Well, I figured.
It's your jam.
I know, but I figured, like, if I'm going to be cheating, like, whatever, I'm going to have a mojito. Like,
just get a skinny margarita. You can drink that. It's not bad for you. It's just mostly tequila. That's not going to hurt you.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I actually had a margarita. Brain fart. I had a margarita.
Oh, okay. There you go.
That's what I had. No. I had the first one was a margarita. That one went by fast.
I was bummed because that party he was talking about is literally not even joking, like about 100 yards from my house.
I didn't know you lived there.
And I wanted to like run down and pop in and say, "Hey, what's up?" But it looked fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, happy birthday, Mia.
Oh yeah, it's my daughter's birthday today. Happy birthday.
You woke her ass up this morning. I saw that on Instagram. What the hell did you do that for? Why don't you let her sleep? It's her damn birthday.
I woke her up 5 minutes before she normally wakes up.
It's her birthday. Let her sleep in 5 extra minutes. How about that?
It wasn't that bad.
Okay. Looked pretty bad to me. She looked pissed off.
Anyways, let's get to it. But before I do, also, I feel so proud and accomplished. Donald Trump's son, Eric Trump, has blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, congratulations. Yes.
Yes. Now he joins his brother, Donald Trump Jr., who also blocked me on Twitter.
You're doing a great job then.
Anyways, I sort of wish and hope that Donald Trump blocks me on Twitter, but I don't think he will. He did. I do take great pride in this. He blocked me on Instagram.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. I've got my bases covered.
Okay.
Anyways, let's get into one of the big stories of last week and that will continue through this week. Miley Cyrus and her return to music already causing controversy. First, we got to set the stage. It's been, what, 5 years since? No.
Come on. It's
4 years.
That long?
4 years. Let me see. Miley Cyrus.
Wrecking Ball was the last single. That's got to be like.
That the We Can't Stop 3? Came out in 2013. And so did Wrecking Ball. We Can't Stop was June 2013. Wrecking Ball, I think, was August 2013.
All right. Well, here we go.
4 years later, and she is reinventing herself as more of a rootsy singer-songwritery type, which, I mean, I like reinvention. I like different ... so long as it's good.
Right.
However, I don't expect, and I don't think she's going to give us radio hits, and that's kind of disappointing because I still think she had radio hits in her.
I do too.
And she...
I think she had one more good pop album in her.
Well, she's still only, like, what, 25? Let me see how old she is. Miley... 24.
What a career. She's only 24.
Yeah,
wow.
She's super young.
Well, she still has time to do a pop album then.
I guess, but I mean, we'll see how this does. At the end of the day, it's really all about the music, and she does have a very passionate and loyal fan base, but is this what they want from her? I don't know. Or is this what they want from her now?
I wanted a pop record. I think she still had a good run with pop music in her.
Madonna kept giving us pop, 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 pop. And even when she was reinventing, it was different shades of pop. Like, I remember her Bedtime Stories album was sonically
album.
So different from anything she'd ever done before. But that song Secret, that's still a pop song. Human Nature, I'm Not Your Bitch, Don't Hang Your Shit on Me, that's still a pop song. So we'll see.
You know, but the lane for pop music was a little wider back then. Like, you could have different kind of styles. There was different types of styles on the radio, which there aren't really now. Everything sort of sounds exactly the same now. So
yeah, that's
I don't
lame.
Know. I mean, look, if you look at Rihanna, though, I mean, that's a big song, her current hit. So
yeah, Rihanna's been the queen of reinvention.
She really has.
She's done everything from pop to hip hop to dance.
It's just ridiculous how underrated Rihanna actually
is. She's not underrated. I put her above Beyonce.
Maybe for you. I'm just talking worldwide or
perception. I don't think she's underrated.
Not our perception. I think the perception of people, I think she's a little underrated.
I would disagree with that assessment. People love Rihanna.
I'm not saying people don't love her. I just think she should be even bigger than she is.
Anyways, yeah, and Miley also made some comments about hip-hop that upset a lot of people, and people accused her of only exploiting hip-hop culture when it was convenient for her. The song that she's coming back with is called Malibu. I don't know. I think it's going to be a stinker, to be honest. I hope I'm wrong. It's a love song about her fiancé and... Like, I don't give a shit about her relationship with her fiancé. They're boring to me as a couple, and that's fine. I'm happy for her. I'm glad they reconnected. I don't need that song. I want a fucking bop. Like, she already did an album that came out in between this one and her last pop record that got shit out of her system. That wasn't enough. Listen, the amazing thing about being Miley Cyrus is that she truly has more than enough money to never have to work again. And she's doing whatever the hell she wants. And I guess that's the difference between Madonna and a lot of other artists. Not everybody has the hunger and drive that Madonna had. And that's why Madonna was successful for so long in her career. She worked harder mm-hmm. than everybody else. That was that incredible work ethic. And she was also so business savvy. Miley has made a lot of not so business savvy decisions throughout her career. This might be one of them. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for the song to come out on Thursday night or Friday, whenever it is.
Is this going to lean more country, or is do you just think it's going to be more singer-songwriter-ish?
I don't know. I think all of the above.
Yeah.
Or rootsy, like somewhere in between, like Americana or whatever the hell.
Right. Listen, I've said this before on this show, I think, way, way back, but my favorite Miley Cyrus performance ever was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, and she came out with a guitar, and this is way before the pop album, and she just stood there and sang, and I was never more blown away by her, and she was probably 20 years old at the time. So she could really shock us and put out an album that's great and folksy at the same time, that's maybe a pop folksy. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't know if she's going to accomplish that, but she's definitely got her in her. That kid has a lot of talent, a lot of talent.
Well, I hope so. I mean, nothing is a given in this day and age.
No, it is not.
Like, Katy Perry's new single is a bona fide flop. It debuted yesterday on the Billboard Hot 100 at number 73, I believe. 73 or 76, one of those two. In the 70s, it debuted in. And it's not even in the top 100 on iTunes.
Well, we spent a good 20 minutes talking about her last week.
And there's also another thing that she did, like, literally while we were recording the podcast last week or right after, that just continues to, like, befuddle me. She posted a photo on her Instagram of her on the cover, or it was a video, or it might have been both. She posted something on her Instagram of her on the cover of the New York Times wearing the Met Gala outfit that she wore. But on the top of the New York Times was a photo of either a fireman or a policeman on fire. And a lot of people are like, why are you highlighting your fashion thing when there's a man burning on top of you? Just bizarre. But that was really just a segue to talk about Taylor Swift. because Katie and Taylor are...
forever connected.
Forever connected. And actually, in a new interview, Katie talked about Taylor's song Bad Blood and if it was about her or not. She says, quote, "Well, that's not my question to answer if it's about me. I think my new album is a very empowered record. There is no one thing that's calling out any one person. One thing to note is you can't mistake kindness for weakness, and don't come for me. Anyone, anyone, anyone. And that's not to any one person, and don't quote me that it is, because it's not about that. Honestly, when women come together and they decide to unite, this world is going to be a better place, period, end of story. But let me say this, everything has a reaction or a consequence, so don't forget about that, okay, honey?"
Okay, I like the sassiness. I'll be honest with you, I do.
Yes, but I would not say that Bon Appetit lives up to what she just said her new album is.
Okay, you got a point there. If you can stand it up with a hit behind it, okay. I just think in general what she's saying about women is very true. And I think that she is also saying if you're going to put something out there about me, I am going to not lay down. I'm going to come back swinging. So I like what she said.
I like it too. In other Taylor Swift news, this is so hilarious to me. Like, she drives her fans wild because for 2 months, she didn't post anything on social media. She just broke her social media silence by posting about her friends in the band Haim, their new song, and promoting that. But there is this photo of a box going into her New York City apartment, and her fans thought she was in this box crate sound equipment type thing, kind of like how Adele was doing it to get to her concerts in Australia. I don't think she was in that box, because
it's a pretty awesome thought, though.
I know, but it was hilarious that her fans thought that. She's a tall girl.
Yeah, she's a big drink of water.
I don't know if she's a contortionist, too. but Taylor was spotted on Sunday at a restaurant or coffee shop at some establishment in Nashville in public. Crazy. And nobody took her photo.
Interesting. Yeah. It's probably why she's there.
Yeah. Nashville, they protect their own and they give people their space, and she's beloved there. And speaking of Taylor Swift, this is a big development on the music front. Her Spotify page has been verified, which leads me to believe that she will most likely be streaming her next album.
Interesting.
I think she has to.
That's a good catch, man.
She's got to. Like, the landscape, even in the last 2.5 years.
You can't just be on one place. I've said that on this show before. Be everywhere.
Yeah, well,
it looks like a money grab when you are at one place. You know, that whole thing with Apple Music rubbed me the absolute wrong way. I think it's a great idea that she's going to be everywhere with her music.
Well, I think she needs to, because the landscape has changed. I, only up until a month or two ago, was still buying music. Now, I'll refuse to buy it. If Adele comes out with a new album tomorrow and it's not available for streaming, I won't buy it.
Really?
Yeah, really.
That surprises me. Well, Adele? You would buy the Adele.
No, I wouldn't. Because now the industry has said this is the standard practice.
Right.
This is what we're doing. And if you're not doing that, like you said, it's clearly a money ploy. And you know what?
And it rubs your fans the wrong way.
Exactly. It's like, why should I support you differently when I consume all the other artists I like in this other way?
And you're not stealing it. This isn't Napster. You're paying for it every month. Listen, it's not our problem to figure out how the money's divvied up and this and that and the other thing. That's their lawyers and their agents and whomever decides that. But we're paying into the system. And if you don't want to participate, don't expect us to sit there and look you in the eye and say, hey, you're part of a money grab. It rubs fans the wrong way.
Yeah, and I just won't do it. Like, now I've also been saving so much money every month.
I told you the amount of money that you would save. He buys everything. Yeah. Guys. I mean, everything.
Well, I bet
you spent last year, if you pulled up your taxes, I bet you spent $5,000 in music.
I spent a lot. Anyways, now I'm not spending that much money on music, and I just refuse to spend any money on albums done, no matter who you are. Not for Taylor, not for Adele, not for Shania.
I've only been telling you this for about 2 years now.
I know.
Welcome to the party.
In other news, well, this isn't really news, but I want to talk about it. This Modern Family actress, Ariel Winter, has completely transformed how she presents herself in public over the last 6 to 8 months, if not longer.
I would say longer.
But she's really ratcheted it up over the last 2 months.
I don't know if that's appropriate for us to say.
Oh, I didn't mean ratchet like ratchet. I meant like ratcheted up, like increased it.
See, I took it the other way.
But it works that way, too.
It does work that way in this example. That's
not the way I intended it, but I'll say it works that way as well.
It's a double entendre.
Well, but I'm trying to word myself carefully. I'm all for a woman dressing however she wants. It's her body. Having said that, I also need to call a spade a spade. This is totally the Kylie Jenner effect. The Kardashian effect. I blame the Kardashian Jenners. And she's so thirsty. It's just so thirsty and desperate and hungry for attention. And having said that, it's worked. It has worked. She's gotten the attention that she wants. But I also think it's just kind of lame that she felt she needed to resort to this to get attention.
I don't get what she intends on getting out of it. You made it. You're in Hollywood. You're on a hit television show. You're setting yourself up for a career. I don't necessarily think this is good for her acting career.
I don't think so either. And not even just a hit, a big hit.
A monster.
Yeah.
Hit. And I like Emmy Award winning every year that thing's in contention.
And listen,
it's a great show. And she's great on it.
Yeah. And if she wants to do that, great. But then when I start to like really have issue with it is like when she shows up to the Smurfs movie premiere dressed how she did, or when she shows up to Disneyland dressed how she did, to Disneyland. If she were not the star of a Disney-owned ABC sitcom, they would have asked her to change or leave. And it's lame that they didn't ask her to change or leave, because they should hold her to the same standard that they would any other park guest.
Look, it's hard for me to comment on this, and I know that's our kind of job on this show, but watching this girl unfold and the, you know, obviously she's got a lot of publicists and she's been showing up to these carpets and with the paparazzi and telling them where she is. And, you know, she's trying to portray this, you know, I'm a sex symbol kind of thing. And I'm like, it's not really your thing. You're like a cute girl. And what are you trying to accomplish by being like that? And I think it just goes back to what you said. It's the Kardashian effect. I think she thinks that that's going to work for her. I don't think this is going to help her career down the line. I don't.
Or same with Bella Thorne. Like, she's gone down a similar path too. I don't know. I mean, it works for Kylie Jenner because that's the world she came from. But I don't know if it'll work for Bella Thorne or Ariel Winter because they're actresses. They didn't start. I mean, do they want to transition to being reality TV stars now? I mean, I guess the paycheck's the paycheck, but Ariel Winter's making bank already.
And will forever from that show, I'm sure.
Lucky.
That thing's in syndication. I mean, she's going to be pocketing money forever from that thing.
I would love to be on a sitcom.
Oh my God, I'd love to be on anything.
It's my dream.
I'd love to be on a podcast that paid us money. Jesus Christ. Settle for that.
Well, we need our beloved podcast listeners to tell their friends, talk about it.
We really do.
We try to keep trying to grow it.
Yeah.
Anyways, another woman has come forward claiming that Drake got her pregnant. This one is a former porn actress.
Yeah.
And his publicist didn't deny that he had relations with her.
Right.
And he said, or she, the publicist, that if it is Drake's baby, that he'll take, you know, responsibility for it. Why is Drake hooking up with all these women and then not using condoms?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, actually, can, if you're a guy, is a vasectomy permanent or can you like undo a vasectomy?
You can undo a vasectomy, yes.
I mean, but to get a vasectomy, you have to go under anesthesia. Like, how serious of a procedure is that?
Not a very serious procedure.
So it's an outpatient thing?
Yeah, you're outpatient and you're leaving that day. They don't even knock you out.
They don't knock you out?
I don't believe that they do.
Oh, wow.
From everyone that I know that's had one, they say, look, it's not a comfortable thing, but it's definitely like, it's not a big deal.
If I was Drake, I would be going in and getting my vasectomy.
Right. And then having it untied a few years later if you want to have kids.
I would not be wanting to have five kids with five different women, but it's more of just like, you know, you could get these women pregnant and like, you're not in a relationship with them. Like, I'm so old school. Like, be a stand-up person to the child. Like, if you're gonna do that, are you really gonna be involved with these kids' lives? Like, probably not. Like, you might see it maybe once a month or something. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of dudes and relationships and sex, Chris Rock is on the cover of the new issue of Rolling Stone talking about cheating on his ex-wife, confirming that he did with multiple women and that he thought he could because he was the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it's a really good interview if you want to read it. It's really forthcoming and honest, and he owns his side of the street for sure.
I was just reading an article earlier this morning about George Michael's ex-longtime partner, Kenny Goss, blabbing about how they used to have an open relationship. And also that made me sad that his ex, the one that he was with for a long time, not the most recent one, was spilling all this tea and revealing all these details. And allegedly he got, as a result of his interview, money to the charity that he started with George Michael. But even if that's the case, then blab without revealing his about his drug use and this, that, and the other, like, ugh, I just wish he had it. But whatever.
Yeah.
Back to couples news. I am shipping this so hard. Angelina Jolie bought a mansion in Brad Pitt's neighborhood, and sources say that the family is in a much better place. Brad is not only seeking out therapy and seeing a therapist regularly, he's also been receiving private treatment for his alcohol issues and maybe any other issues that he might have had as well. And I would love it if they got back together. I mean,
he's been sober for 6 months.
It would be, I don't know what it would be, but I cried when they broke up. Oh, I would love it if they got back together. I'm rooting for them. Also, an update on a story that we talked about last week. Harry Styles sold out his world tour in a matter of seconds. That was a smart move on his part. Fans are not happy that they weren't able to get tickets, but he's already told them that he'll be back next year to tour again, most likely in larger venues. And more music-related news, a lot of people were speculating that Beyoncé had her lips done because they've been looking very plump lately. And her
maybe her lips are just chapped.
Her publicist let this one media outlet have it, who was reporting that Beyoncé had her lips done, saying that, no, it's just swelling from being pregnant. And I found this out. Not only is it common in women to have their lips swell, but it can also be common to have their other lips swell too.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be crass.
Whatever. It's not crass. It's,
well, by saying lips, is that, that's all I meant.
Is that not what it's called?
I don't know. It just seems like a gross word to me when you're talking about them down there.
What is it? What are they really called?
I don't know. Your vagina? I don't know. Your area?
Well, I think the vagina is more than just the lips.
It's true.
Is it flaps? Yes. I guess flaps. I don't know. Flaps?
Even worse.
Yeah, flaps sounds like a
listen,
worse
it's sweater. All a package deal down there, all right? Let's just say the lady parts swell.
Maybe they all do, yeah. 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 Maybe, yeah.
I'm strangely turned on.
The vagina is also inside and outside.
It's a lovely place.
It's a complicated, complex thing.
I love visiting.
I don't know. I left this for last, or we've got a few things coming up, but towards the end of the show, because I'm just not that interested. And we've also talked about it before, but it was officially announced, confirmed today that American Idol is returning to TV. It's been gone less than 2 years. It ended in May of 2016, and ABC is going to be airing Idol. And one of the names already attached to the show is not Ryan Seacrest, although it's possible that he will return.
I don't think he's going to be returning. He's in New York now, and I do not see them absorbing the cost of putting a show on in New York City.
No.
I just don't see it.
No, do you didn't hear what they're thinking of doing?
No, I haven't read anything yet.
Moving Idol to Sunday nights, which would be 5 p.m. Pacific. Seacrest could do it. Then immediately after, take a private plane to New York.
Is it really that important that he hosts it?
No. I mean, I think doing it on Sunday nights would be smart, especially if they air it live on East Coast and West Coast, which is a new trend.
So you could vote.
Anyways, Kelly Clarkson is being discussed and mentioned as a judge on the rebooted American Idol.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. She was the first idol, and she is, I would say, strongly liked. I wouldn't quite say beloved, but strongly liked. Like, very liked.
No one dislikes her, put it that way.
Yeah.
I love her, and always will. Here's the thing. We started out friends.
Anyways, an update on this Caitlyn Jenner book that came out last month. The numbers are in, and her memoir, I would say, is a huge flop.
Is a massive flop.
Yeah, she got paid $4 million as an advance, and it debuted at number 8. On the New York Times bestseller list and number 15 on the USA Today list. Getting paid $4 million and you couldn't even debut in the top 5 after a primetime special appearing on morning TV and late night TV and doing countless other media.
Yeah, nobody cares about her.
Flop. Floppity flop.
Flop, 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 flop.
Speaking of flopping and Caitlyn Jenner, her ex-wife Kris Jenner is already planning and preparing for the end of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She is developing a flip or flop ripoff type show where she and Scott Disick are going to be buying homes and flipping them.
I love those kind of shows.
You do?
I mean, I kind of watch anybody do it. I could see me watching if she's not annoying.
I like her.
I mean, I don't know if I like her or not. I really don't. Like I said, I've never really watched that show. So I can't say that I dislike her. But the fact that she sold her daughter's soul for porn tape to be rich, overall, I don't think I like her.
I like her. And also, speaking of her daughter, Kim Kardashian, she too is planning for the end of Keeping Up. It seems like the end is definitely near. Not the end of this season, but after next season is when their contract is up. It's not going to be renewed.
Not a chance.
Kim Kardashian has gotten herself another TV show on Lifetime called Glam Masters. It's a reality competition show where they are looking for a new member of the Kardashians glam team.
Ooh. Good. Sounds shit-tacular.
I think that's kind of smart, that one, because I'm over them.
No one's going to watch
well,
that.
Well, no, what's smart about it is that it's a format, like Project Runway, and it's not really about the Kardashians, it's about the contestants, and it's about the makeup and the hair or whatever they can do. So I could see how that one would be more appealing to people who might be over the Kardashians per se, but love hair and makeup and competition shows like Project Runway. Speaking of Kim Kardashian, this is so, maybe not bizarre, maybe there's a very easily explainable reason for this, but Kanye West is in Wyoming, and he's been in Wyoming for a bit now, working on his new album. If I was rich and successful like Kanye, and a very well-known artist, I could work wherever the hell I wanted. I would want to work in the city that my kids and wife are in. That's just me, though.
Well, you're a family man.
I mean, it's very telling that he's not with his wife and kids now, working on this new album, even if it's just 2 weeks. Like, if you're 2 weeks without seeing your kids by choice, like even if you could only... I understand being busy, but you can't see your kids 30 minutes for 2 weeks when you're really busy. You can't make 30 minutes out of your day for your kids, like...
Listen, bruh, it's my art, bruh.
And I'm not saying he's a bad dad, but he's a bad dad.
Sorry, what was that?
And I'm just saying I wouldn't do that.
Gotcha.
That's all I'm saying. He's a bad dad. In other news, this is something I totally called. I called it. Michael Jackson's daughter, Paris Jackson, is being tipped to be the star of the new Madonna biopic movie.
And I'm the one that told you that I thought she looked so much like Madonna on the show. And you're like, no, I don't see it at all. I'm like, dude, she looks exactly like Madonna.
Well, in that photo shoot, yes.
Well, whatever. She looks like Madonna. And somebody else agrees with me because they cast her as goddamn Madonna. So I was right, not you. I was right.
They haven't cast her yet, but she's the front runner.
Okay.
It might have happened already. Who knows? We'll see.
I don't know. I mean, yes, she does look like her, but wouldn't you want someone that could really act to play Madonna?
I mean,
that's a big lady that you're trying to portray. You better have somebody that's more than cut their teeth in acting. That's a really hard character to play Madonna because she's been so many characters.
Yeah, we'll see. Also, that Paris Jackson girl's the new face of Calvin Klein. She's having a really good year. From nobody last year to somebody now. From Paris Jackson to Paris Hilton.
What?
Yes.
We're talking about her?
Yes. Well, her little brother, to be exact, Conrad Hilton, was arrested for trying to break into his ex-girlfriend's house and trying to steal her Bentley. And what makes it all even weirder is that his ex-girlfriend's dad is Rick Solomon, the co-star in Paris Hilton's sex tape.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, small world.
I know. I wonder what Paris thought when he started dating her sex tape co-star's daughter. I'm like, out of all the people in the world, you got to date that dude's daughter?
Hey, look, Shania Twain is now married to that whole circle. It's funny how things come together sometimes.
Yeah, it's not a good look that he got arrested, and it's even worse that there's video of his arrest that leaked online. And in the video, he's heard using the N-word, the F-word, the one used towards gay people.
Oh, okay.
And claiming the police are trying to rape him, falsely claiming that. That's like three major strikes. Bitch, you're out. The ex-girlfriend claims that he has serious mental health problems, and I think she makes a pretty good point. Yeah. I mean, probably drugs as well. They go hand in hand.
Sounds like crystal meth to me.
Ugh, it's sad.
That's some meth head activity right there.
Yay, yay. Also sad is this ongoing nastiness between Rosie O'Donnell's daughter and Rosie, although Rosie hasn't really been nasty publicly towards her estranged daughter, Chelsea, but she did make fun of the situation recently at the GLAAD Awards in New York this past weekend. Rosie said, "Things have been rough in my family in the last week. Let's just say I feel strongly Joan Crawford was framed." She also then went on to say, "I have an autistic toddler. She's 4. I would trade every teen in for autistic triplets. Not going to kill them with a wine bottle. What? Google on the way home." Another joke about the estranged teenage daughter.
Well, teenagers are tough.
I agree. And I know that she's a comedian, but this is just something that personally I wouldn't joke about. Especially because she hasn't mended the relationship yet.
Well, maybe it's, you know,
beyond too mending, far gone, I guess.
Yeah. And it's just trying to make light of a terrible situation.
Speaking of celebrity offspring, I got to give credit where credit is due. Donald Trump's daughter, Tiffany Trump, instead of getting a cush, easy, high-paying job at her dad's organization, has instead opted to go to school to get higher education, a degree in law from Georgetown University. So good on her.
I think she's kind of hot.
Yeah. I mean, so is Ivanka. He'd probably date her if it wasn't her, his daughter. That's what he said. He said that. That was a quote from Donald Trump.
No, I remember. Everybody remembers that one. But Tiffany's kind of cute. I like her.
Speaking of law, Richard Simmons is still in hiding, but he's keeping tabs on the tabs and suing them as well. He's filed a lawsuit against the owner of the National Enquirer and the Radar Online website, and also claims that his former assistant is the one that was selling false stories about him to these tabs. So,
wow.
Yeah,
really?
That's why I'm happy I have my family as my team. They're not going to be blabbing shit.
Barbie tells me crap about you all the time.
Oh, I'm sure.
So there.
I had more legal news. Dance Moms star Abby Lee Miller has just been sentenced to 1 year and a day in prison. She was found guilty of hiding money while she was filing for bankruptcy. Naughty, naughty. And finally, this made me, I've been thinking about it a lot. I don't know. It's getting older. Bill Clinton has reinvented himself as a novelist. He is writing his first ever novel, a political thriller with noted novelist James Patterson, which is cool because the novelist probably did almost everything.
Yeah, Patterson's pretty good.
Yeah, he probably did it all, and Bill just like helped him come up with some plot points.
Listen, I got an idea. It's going to be a thriller. Okay, I'll write it. Guy writes it. I wrote a novel. That's what happened.
That's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, let's just say you like win $100 million. Mm-hmm. What would you want to do with your life?
Honestly, I would probably do little things like I've always wanted to open an auto garage. I'd like to open a sandwich shop.
Really?
I'd like to open an open a pizza place.
Really?
Yeah. These are the little things I'd like to do.
You want to open?
And I'd like to travel more.
A sandwich shop?
I love sandwiches. Sandwiches are like my favorite thing in the world. I can tell you where all the best sandwiches in LA are. I love sandwiches.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where
I do.
What's the best sandwich place in LA? Or one of them.
There's a place called Potato Chip that I really like. It's really good. It's over there by Irwan. You know where Irwan is on Beverly?
Yeah, by CBS.
It's kind of catty corner to that. You don't eat bread, so it doesn't matter. You're never going to go there.
But people listen that live in LA.
Well, that's a great place. I like All About the Bread. I like Soda Pop. I like, there's quite a few places I like, but there's a place in Larchmont that I love. There's a place in Santa Monica, Bay City. Yeah, I love sandwiches. I would love to open a sandwich shop.
Cool.
What would you do?
I would fund projects that I wanted to do. Like I would put on a musical that I really wanted to be in. I would create my own sitcom and produce it and put it up. I would make movies that I wanted to make. I would start a charity. I probably should have started that one first if I had $100 million. I would start a charity that helped people go to college that wanted to go get a higher education. So youth and education related. I would, I think I might have said this before. If I got $1 billion, I would want to build the most opulent, crazy, over the top building in Cuba. That would be like a right. tourist destination.
You're right. We talked about yes. this. This is going to go on forever.
Yeah. Like my Taj Mahal or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's
Perez that. Mahal. Couple calls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Perez. Hey, Booker. My name's Leah. I listen to the show every week. And my question is, can you do more podcasts? Ugh. I listen to it on my way to work once a week. And I wish that you did like twice a week or three times a week so I could have more fun to listen to in the car. Thanks, and keep doing what you're doing. Bye.
Well, we're open to doing a daily show if somebody pays us.
Listen, we're a three-man band right now. There's a guy named Brian that helps us out, and it's Perez and me. And this show's a lot of work. It doesn't sound like it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of work on my end to put things together. And I know it's a lot of work on your end just to stack this show every week and what we talk about.
And the social stuff, everything.
Well, then there's that. I mean, the promos that I have to make and then he has to post and schedule. And there's really a lot that goes into this show that, I don't know, maybe it looks effortless, but there's a lot of work to it. Listen, like Perez just said, we would be more than happy to be on some sort of platform, a daily platform. And I would be more than happy to take all of my time and do this. I have a lot of fun doing this. And, you know, if this was my daily every day, I would feel very fulfilled, I think. I enjoy working with him. So, like he said at the beginning of the show, tell your friends. If we keep continuing to grow this, hopefully somebody will pay attention and help us out because it's expensive to do the lofty things that we want to do.
Good points.
Okay. Good point.
The lofty things that we want to do. What lofty things do we want to do?
I still think this show should be a television show.
Well, I would.
That's
agree.
A lofty goal yeah. is all that I'm saying. I think that this show, look, he put it together. He knows why this works. I think it works, and I think it would work as like one of those daily TMZ type shows. It's irreverent and different, and nobody does what we do. I believe in it. So when I say lofty goals, I would love to see that down the line. But like you've always said, you got to put it out there. So
yeah,
I'm putting it out there. That's what I would like to see happen.
I would love that too.
Just tell your friends. That's all you can do to help us out. Another call.
Hi, Perez and Booker. Quick question about Taylor Swift. I know she has been so stealth lately. I mean, really for months. And I was curious to know if what you guys thought of it. I know towards the end, right before she kind of went radio silent, she was just getting a lot of press with the Kardashian debacle, with the whole Girl Squad thing, which I think towards the end kind of came off more pretentious than feminist girl power. And I just wanted to know if you thought that her radio silence was because she just felt like she needed to just stay away for a little bit, or is she just working on an album? I know you guys, especially Booker, have said before that she's pretty much in control of her image, almost kind of calculated about it. So just wanted to get your thoughts. Love you guys.
Well, we talked about it already. I love being on
the wavelength.
Their brain, exactly. I love knowing what people want to know and giving it to them before they even ask. So, yeah, I think it's all of the above. Yeah, it's everything you mentioned.
She's very calculated. It's one
not
thing
in a bad
almost,
way. Not in a bad way.
Well, I think in a bad way.
Why?
It's one of the things that rubs me a little bit wrong about her, that nothing is organic. It doesn't feel organic with her. It's all very too much calculated.
That does Look, not bother what, me put it this whatsoever.
Way. I'm not saying that it bothers me, but last night, when you and I sat there and watched Shania Twain be so completely forthcoming and honest and almost shaking, delivering the truth. And really, we saw her insides while she talked. You know what I mean? Like she opened up to a bunch of strangers. That touched me. These songs are kind of about this person, but I'm not going to tell you. And I don't know who, you know, I don't want to, that whole game sort of bothers me a little. And the whole fact that she can't just organically just look, I want to tweet, or I'm going to tweet when my album comes out, or I'm going to Instagram this and that. And I don't know. It just seems a little contrived to me, and it rubs me kind of the wrong way. Ultimately, I don't know if I really care, but it's just a little put on. I respond more to what we saw with Shania last night.
It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, it reminds me of Madonna. Madonna was very calculating and strategic like that. Mm-hmm. She totally reinvented for every album, different visuals, different everything, different sounds.
Yeah, but there wasn't social media when she came up.
No.
And Madonna, look at how she uses social media. Ugh. Of course, you almost wish she would stop.
Yes. Get off.
That bad, huh? She put out some pictures. She had that like Nike swoop on her on her bush or whatever. Ugh. Like, what's going on there?
She needs to get off. She's the embarrassing mom on social media.
Yeah.
Or the embarrassing whomever, the embarrassing teen. I'm not even being ageist. She's just embarrassing. And I love
She's
Madonna.
Arielle Winter embarrassing.
She's more embarrassing.
Really?
Imagine if Queen Elizabeth.
Right, because Arielle doesn't know better. Madonna should know better.
Imagine if Queen Elizabeth started to get on social media and then just like posted a photo of herself on the throne, like the crapping throne. Like, this is the queen. I'm on the throne. I'm on my throne. Like, if Queen Elizabeth did that, that's like what Madonna's been doing on social media.
I might need to follow her.
No, don't.
No, I may enjoy this.
Don't enable.
Hi, this is Erica from Miami. I have one comment and one question. My comment is I want to congratulate Perez for not peeing for two podcasts in a row.
He has. I've been cutting them out because you guys have been bitching about it so much. He's peed every episode, except for today.
I know. Let's hurry up and finish this.
My question is, I keep being told by an associate of mine how great and amazing Jamiroquai's new album is. And I'm like, Jamiroquai, he's back. So I wanted to know if you heard it, what your thoughts are, and is he back?
You heard it?
I haven't even been aware that he was still making music.
Yeah, I listened to the album, actually.
You did?
It's Jamiroquai. Yeah, it's Jamiroquai. It's nothing. It's every sound that he usually does. I don't think it's any better or worse than anything he's ever put out. It's just kind of the same to me. I didn't find it spectacular by any means, but, you know, to each his own. Want to wrap it up?
Yeah, that sounds good. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. And call us. And follow us.
I was
us.
Wondering if that phone call was going to number.
Follow us on social media. Call us at 800-721-1185. Follow us, the Perez Hilton and Chris Booker. And tell all your friends about our podcast and have a great day.
Okay.